Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with David Slack. Morena, David. How
Morena,
are you?
Rachel. I'm very well because I just got infused with coffee in the split second moment of time. you people weren't even born when there was a movie called Broadcast News, but there's a beautiful scene in it where behind the scenes the scrambling and Holly Hunter is sliding under filing cabinet doors that are rolling out and all kinds of things just to get to the studio in time. And just as the guy's about to talk, she's handing the thing to him. Well, that's my coffee right now.
Excellent.
I feel like that's the reality. That's what broadcasting's like.
Totally.
It's exactly what you imagine.
It's all the duck's feet paddling under the water, isn't it?
Yep.
That is not what we're here to talk about, though. We are here to talk about a bunch of things. Let's start with COVID because it's back, which is not unexpected. Keep washing our hands, keep scanning the app, keep turning on Bluetooth, all that stuff. But some good news is that we have got a bit more sort of timeline around when a vaccine might hit our shores. Basically, the government said as soon as they can send it, as soon as Pfizer can send it, we can take it. We can take a first load. And that they're looking at the middle of the year for a mass vaccination program and hopefully as early as March for border workers and those very, very vulnerable groups. Now, what are some of your first sort of, I guess, responses to this? And what do you think we need to be focusing on with this rollout?
There's one dimension to this that I think is being soft-pedaled a little, and that is that if you do have the time, as we do, because we're not in an emergency situation, you actually do want to take your time a little bit, because any new vaccine, even though it's been very well assessed in the limited time that's been available, something could go wrong. And so you want to have a little bit of room at each stage of introducing it to be able to respond to that. Now, Britain can't do that. USA can't do that because they're in a dire emergency and so they're going hell for leather. But that's the preferable approach, to take a little bit of time, and that's what's going on here. But they're not saying it. I don't mean this as a conspiracy. I just mean that they're carefully not saying this too much, because you've also got that tightrope of the perhaps 10% of the population who will not have a vaccination, and the perhaps 30%, and this is according to figures that Ashley Bloomfield has been quoted from their research, that the 30% who might be wavering, and you just want to be able to reassure them it is a good idea. It's a really bloody good idea.
Yes.
And it's all going to be okay. And so you don't want to frighten those horses.
No. So how do we do that? How do we get people on board with vaccination, especially because this is, you know, there is always a contingent of anti-vaccination people in any given time. But when you've got a pandemic, it becomes quite pointy.
It does. But if it's just the 10%, I say just, but if it is 10%, then you are actually, if you're vaccinated, you're 90%. Again, quoting Ashley Bloomfield, that is getting you into that herd immunity dimension that you're looking for. And then you're working with it, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to swamp your hospitals, which is the terrible hazard that we were trying to avoid. And people doubted. And now it's absolutely bloody proven in, again, the UK and the US and other places, Brazil, for example. Now, for that reason, you don't necessarily worry too much about that 10%. You work on the wavering 30, and the things you're saying to them are reassuring messages of having people they trust to go and do it. Some of the things that you might ordinarily scoff at, but actually it does help to have certain kinds of admired people, sports stars, celebrities, whoever the hell it is that you really trust, to go and say, hey, I did this and you can trust me.
Absolutely.
Actually, I think it's Ashley Bloomfield. What do I know?
if anybody went to a music festival over New Year's, they will have probably seen the drum and bass remix of Ashley Bloomfield telling everyone to wash their hands, which I saw shared by many, many people. So, yeah, I think you're right. It's kind of getting those messages out there and just reminding people it is a team effort, you know.
That's
I know
right.
Some people find that quite a naff thing to think about, but it's important at a time like this.
Look, there's something really significant about this experience too, in that dimension of team, leaving aside the naff thing, and that is, for the last 30 years or so, we've had this whole idea of the free market and the individual and neoliberalism that says you're the centre of the universe. It was bullshit all along, but it's especially bullshit when you're talking about things like this, where the greater good really matters. You're part of something bigger, and that's what I think very skillfully the PM used at the the start of the lockdown last year, mm-hmm. before it had started sounding trite or naff, team of 5 million. Yeah, you're all in this. We're all, nobody's going to be left out of this. You're all going to be taken care of, yeah. with money in particular. And that really reassured people.
It did, yeah.
And but also, if you feel that you're part of something that everybody's committing to, it's great. It's that same spirit that the Londoners had in the Blitz, that they were all in it together, rich or poor. They were down in the air raid shelters, and they liked that everybody was in it together.
Yeah.
Nobody's got an advantage. And I think that's the real crying shame, that people like Mike Hosking and some of the Plan B people have undermined that, were undermining it in the following months, so that people have a little doubt about it. You should have no doubt. Look at the state of this compared to those other countries. We did make the right call, and Jesus, we've got a more comfortable ride because of it. That's not to say that people aren't having difficulties.
No, absolutely, but we are in a very fortunate position.
By a country mile.
Let's talk about housing, because that's been obviously a hot button topic for about 10 years, 15 years in New Zealand, but we've just seen the government outline some of its plans for housing. There's been some criticism that they're sort of outlining things that maybe they had already announced, and that perhaps this isn't going far enough. What are some of your initial reactions to this? And also, what do we need to see this year from the government in terms of housing?
They certainly do need to be doing other things, and ideally in a better world, there would be a capital gains tax, but clearly that's not going to happen, and they're relying on using other levers to be enough. Let's see if it is or not. Let's see what they come out with the reform to the RMA. Let's see what they come out with any other bright line test extension, anything that discourages people from the money for nothing mentality that has absolutely skewed this thing irreparably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our housing stock is valued at $1.3 trillion.
And
for comparison, $300 billion is our GDP, our annual GDP.
Wow.
Now, it's not worth that much. It's only become worth that much because everybody has pretended it is, because it's in everybody's interest for the prices to keep going up, and the banks have happily lent money for that to happen. And the only way you can fix that now, and it's a lot of crack record to this, just a scratch record again and again, I'm saying it, but I have got to say it again, you've got to flood the market with many more properties,
yeah.
so that possibility of runaway prices is dissolved. And that, I believe, can only happen by the government borrowing a shitload of money and investing it in building. It's also got to find builders, and that's a huge problem because apprenticeships were neglected for so long. But I don't see any other approach that's going to get you the kind of flooding we need.
Yeah.
And by flooding, I mean lots of apartments. I don't mean a whole lot more expensive dwellings, which was kind of the mistake of Kiwi Build. You need so many apartments that there's no longer a whole lot of buyers chasing scarcity.
Yes.
And you borrow for that. You borrow and you go for the doctor.
And our very last thing I just very briefly wanted to touch base on, because it's been another thing that's been a huge topic in the last 18 months, is Oranga Tamariki. We've seen that Gronja Moss has stepped down now, and they've appointed a board, a four-person board, to oversee basically a big overhaul of Oranga Tamariki. And there's been a lot of people talking about what needs to be the core focus of that group. One thing I've seen pop up quite a lot is people saying, okay, this is great, we're getting an overhaul, but where is the rangatahi and where are the survivors of the system and of abuse in that conversation? What do you think needs to be the big focus for this overhaul?
So far, so good, because you're putting it back in the hands of people who are deep in the community, in the Maori community, who can understand and relate and recognise that this has to be more of a last option, the uplifting, than it has been seen for so long. You have to recognise that there's a whole lot of mending still needs to be done, because, again, scratch record, colonisation, neoliberalism, a whole lot of things that have meant that there's a whole lot of adverse circumstance for a lot of people. But the answer is not for the state to be stepping in unless you've run out of all of the other options. And you have to give that control to Māori to be able to take care of, to assess how you best go at it. And so that's not my call.
No, that's great. Though it's lovely to have you in the studio, David. Always an absolute pleasure. Happy New Year, which we can, I think, still kind of get away with saying for maybe three more days. But have a nice weekend, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Cheers, Rachel.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.